Right now, we're going to discuss this debate and other issues from the week in politics with our Friday guests, Jonathan Capehart of The Washington Post and Ramesh Panuru of The National Review and Bloomberg Opinion. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Ari.
This story is complicated, and there is a lot that we don't know, but the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, provided some insight when he tweeted, quote, "A president telling a president-elect of a well-known corrupt country he better investigate corruption that affects the U.S. is doing his job." So if we read between the lines here, the implication seems to be that Trump may have asked the president-elect of Ukraine to investigate the Biden family. Is that, as Giuliani argues, Trump doing his job, Jonathan?
In the grand scheme of things, at the 30,000-foot level, a president of the United States asking a foreign leader to do something about corruption in his country, that's something that is normal. What's not normal in this story is that you have the president of the United States asking the Ukrainian president to investigate a political rival and thereby interfering, having that leader interfere in the 2020 election. And what makes this story potentially explosive is whether or not there was a quid pro quo, whether or not the president of the United States said to the Ukrainian president Zelensky, if you do this investigation against my political rival, the United States, I, the president, will release these funds that you've been asking for.
And again, we don't know for certain that that
Correct.
Is what happened here. But Ramesh, if those are accurate details, how extraordinary would that be?
I think it's pretty extraordinary. You know, there are a lot of norms and customs that have evolved to prevent impropriety and even the appearance of impropriety. And one thing we know about this president is he is completely heedless of those norms.
Right,
he doesn't respect them. He doesn't seem to understand why they exist in the first place. And all of these norms having to do with the integrity of the justice system in our country, where you don't urge investigations of your political rivals, that's something he doesn't see the point of. He's certainly not going to see the point of not intervening in another country's justice system.
Well, part of the role of Congress here is to conduct oversight, and the administration has just stonewalled Congress's oversight efforts at every turn. In my interview today with Speaker Pelosi, she suggests passing legislation that would apply to future presidents that might address this, but she did not budge on the question of impeachment. So short of impeachment, Jonathan, do you see other steps that Congress could take to reassert its powers?
Other than holding hearings like the House Judiciary Committee is doing, passing laws is a fine thing. You can get them. She can get them out of the House. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell isn't going to do anything. But all of this stems from this OLC memo, Office of Legal Counsel memo from the 1970s that says a sitting president cannot be indicted. If that were not in place, there'd be multiple avenues for Special Counsel Robert Mueller would have been able to indict the president, would have felt comfortable going the extra mile that a lot of people think he should have gone. But the other element here that we should not forget is that a lot of attention is focused on the House and Speaker Pelosi, which is understandable. But foreign affairs used to emanate, and the big leaders on those issues used to come from the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, and the Republicans in the Senate have largely been silent. And on something as big as this, this cannot be a partisan issue.
So Ramesh, if Congress does not impose some form of accountability, whatever that may be, either party, do you think the Trump administration's defiance of Congress then will permanently change the standard by which we measure what is acceptable behavior from the executive branch?
It is possible, but a lot depends on what happens subsequently. So if President Trump loses re-election in 2020 and his loss is seen as in part a response to the way he's broken various norms, including the norms of not stonewalling a congressional investigation and complying with congressional oversight, then I think future presidents take one lesson. If, on the other hand, he's reelected and he doesn't pay a political price, then I think that people take a different lesson.
In our last couple of minutes, I'd like to turn you both to Iran and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's trip this week to Saudi Arabia to discuss an attack on Saudi oil facilities that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia both say was carried out by Iran. Iran denies that. Secretary Pompeo called the attack an act of war. The president today said going into Iran, quote, would be a very easy decision, the easiest thing. How serious do each of you think the risk of war is, Ramesh?
I think there's a serious risk. We know that there are Iran hawks in the administration. We know that the administration is not always unified and on the same page. And we know that the president is mercurial and he goes back and forth on these questions. All of those things, I think, make it possible that we are going to maybe possibly blunder into war. It is a little odd that the Secretary of State is talking about this as an act of war when it is clearly an act of war on Saudi Arabia,
right,
and not an act of war against the United States.
Well, Jonathan, as Ramesh points out, there's the question of whether the White House wants to go to war, and then there's the question of whether the U.S. accidentally gets pulled into a war.
Right. And as we remember from the campaign, the president campaigned on getting us out of these conflicts, and the idea that he would want to go into a third conflict in that region would, I think,
might be more than three if you count Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan,
true,
Iraq, depending how you measure.
Right. Well, let's just say the entire region. But a conflict or a war with Iran would be very, very serious. And I don't think, and I'm sure the president probably doesn't think, the American people have the appetite for yet another more serious conflict in that region. The very people who voted for him, they were attracted to his message that, you know, we need to get out of Afghanistan, we need to get out of Iraq, let them take care of their own problems.
A final thought, as millions of young people around the world today march in a climate protest, do you both think this kind of activism is likely to have a real impact on the course of events? Ramesh?
I don't know if it's going to have a short-term impact. I don't see that we are going to see legislation passing Congress and getting signed by the president on it. But over time, this can build. The problem, from the point of view of a lot of the activists, is their whole point is we don't have much.
Right. I agree with Ramesh. But the other thing is these young people who are marching today, we will be seeing them in 10 years, 20 years' time. Those are the leaders who are going to be running this country and countries around the world in the future.
Jonathan Capehart of The Washington Post and Ramesh Panuru of The National Review and Bloomberg Opinion. Have a great weekend. Thanks to you both.
You too, Ari.
You too.